Cybertruck in this podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things electric vehicles and technology. We have Chase here. My name is Eric. What's going on, Chase? How you doing?
Trying to stay healthy. Apparently, if you go to a kid's play place in the middle of winter, it's not advised.
Yeah, no. Kids are the ones that do it to us, you know? Yeah.
It's not fair because they have like all the energy. They can be like sick as hell if they're like running all.
Isn't
up and down
that
walls.
Crazy? I think about that all the time with, you know, my youngest son. He's 10, and I feel like he's always sick, but he just kind of like powers through it and just does his thing. And he's very active. Nice. You know, he plays a lot of sports, and I just don't understand how he's able to just have that type of energy. But yeah, you're 100% right. The kids, that's what they do. They just get through it. It's almost like they don't even know any different, right? They just go.
It's like, yeah, their body's like fighting it off and giving them superpowers that we just don't get anymore.
Yeah, for reals. I mean, I get tired. I'm tired after a nap.
But otherwise, it's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah, I was sick over the holiday break, and that was not fun. So, all right. Well, I wanted to talk about probably the biggest news, I think, that over the last few days has been the reveal of the Model Y Juniper.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the looks of it, because if you've seen the initial, sightings of it where it's wrapped, you know, like they wrap it in that cloth or whatever, and it's driving around, and you know, you could tell that there's light bars now in the front and the rear. Mm-hmm. I was not a big fan of it, to be honest with you, when I see it in that version of it. But now that they've unveiled it, I mean, I kind of like it. I kind of like the lights. I like the light bar in the back a lot more than I thought I was going to.
I like the light bar in the back, but I'm just not a fan of the front. I know what they're doing. They're trying to mimic off of what they're going to do with the Robotaxi.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at this compared to like other Teslas, it feels a little more out of place. But it also feels like the Ioniq, right? Ioniq.
Hmm. Well, it resembles, to me, the light bar on the Cybertruck. It kind of resembles look. And even with the light bar in the back, I know the Cybertruck kind of has like a light bar going across the back. So it seems like that's kind of the way they're going, is these light bars.
I get it. I mean, it makes total sense to like kind of unify it, but it just feels a little... They're trying to bring in the brand in a way, but yeah, it almost, because other EV makers have been kind of copying, and even other car manufacturers have been copying that, you know, the solid light bar in the front. So this one, it feels more like it kind of pushes us off brand a little way. Like I wish they would have kept the, you know, the front headlights more or less the same, and then went with the solid back light bar. But I don't know, that's just me. But I'm actually more happy about, you know, the updates to the interior, like adding in the screen and that, those kind of things. So those are much needed.
Yeah. So going to the interior, I mean, there's not a whole lot that's new. I mean, you don't look at it and go, oh, wow, this is a totally different vehicle. But they did do the ambient lighting like they did in the Model 3 refresh. The screen, I believe, is like 0.4 inches larger in the front. Mm-hmm. They added the 8-inch screen in the back.
Right.
And then one thing I thought that was super interesting is the fact that it looks like, at least in China, it looks like they're going to be doing what they call a long variant. And that's going to enable a 6-seater. So what it sounds like is the middle seat will turn into like bucket seats. And then the rear seat will be the 2 smaller seats. So that's something that's pretty interesting. And
a 6-seater, but though, like, oh, I guess, cause are they not counting the one in the middle?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this middle one is going to be 2 seats instead of 3, and it'll have that open section in the middle, and then you'll have access to the 2 rear seats.
Yeah.
So instead of the 7-seater, or is it? Yeah. The 7-seater that's now, you know, that you can buy now on the regular Model Y. I guess it seems like they're going to deviate away from that and go to a six seater. At least in China.
Would make sense. I mean, that's the whole reason why we're in the R1S right now is because of the, you know, the seventh seat, but having that third row is the biggest thing about it. And it's honestly not like you could still fit an adult between the two middle seats, but I mean, it's not going to be comfortable, but yeah, realistically it's always a six seater. So I think them just kind of going full in saying, no, this is a six seater rather than a seven. Is actually pretty smart because they're not like trying to oversell like a tiny seat that an adult can't fit in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the idea of the six seater. I've always been a fan of the bucket seats in the middle. I know that sometimes if you have, you know, a bunch of kids or if, you know, you're kind of bussing along, you know, friends of your kids or, you know, cousins, nephews, nieces, that type of thing, then, you know, every seat counts, right? So seven seaters, it makes a lot of sense, but or even an eight seater when you're in a bigger SUV like a Suburban or something.
Yeah,
but you know, I like the idea. I like the fact that, like, I liked it when the current Model Y came out with the third row, because I thought that was, even though it's maybe a little bit more crammed, but it's good for kids. It's a perfect way to kind of transport a bunch of kids around. So
put the littles in the back.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Did they announce any difference in the price, or are they keeping the price the same?
There hasn't been anything that I've seen that indicates the pricing. I do know that I'm trying to see here. So here we go. It says, while there's no confirmation, we expect the new Tesla Model Y to be on sale in the U.S. around March to April of 2025. As of January 4th, 2024, the Model Y retails at USAD, so US dollars, 44,000, just shy of under 45,000 for the long range rear wheel drive. The long range all wheel drive is 48,000 and 51,000 for the performance. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they, I know that they've been trying to move some of the older Model Ys with like incentives all this last half of 2024, but I wouldn't be shocked if they try to like upcharge this just a slight bit, you know, just
I would think so
they can continue move the old inventory out, because there's not going to be making the non-refreshed Model Y anymore, obviously. So
well, one thing I did notice on this new version is the range. It looks like they're increasing some of the range on it. Let me find that real quick.
Yeah,
so it looks like it says, according to CLTC, they can travel up to 368 miles and 447 miles, marking an improvement of 24 miles and 19 miles respectively. So 447 miles on a vehicle, I think on an electric vehicle is a nice number.
Well, here's another hot take that I don't think people have thought of or brought up yet, coming from owning a Cybertruck, is there was a lot of complaints about the front light bar and getting covered up in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the headlights as well, because there was a shelf there. But the idea was that, oh, it doesn't matter if the light bar gets covered up with snow, that's not your main light, it's just kind of a running light, but your other lights are headlights. So I'm wondering if they addressed that in this version, where the headlights, assuming they're on like either side, do have like heaters along with them, so they, you know, can melt the snow.
Well, I mean, based off this picture here, there doesn't seem like there's really much space for a buildup of snow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be something to, you know, pay attention to see if they've done anything to alleviate that issue.
Right. But they will 100% going from the old Model Y to this Model Y, you're going to get a lot more bugs on the front, because the front is more flat than it was before.
Yeah.
So just be prepared.
Yeah, those darn bugs. I always advise to at least put like a PPF, clear PPF, if you don't want to do any changing. Every Tesla I've had previous to the Cybertruck, I always put a clear bra type of thing on the front of them, because the same, you know, the bugs, especially with paint. I mean, the bug splatter, you know, that'll do some damage to your paint if you don't clean it quickly.
That's cool.
So. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
If anything, I did see someone say, wait, so that leak was real? And yeah, it's like, obviously it was real. Like, I think it's no shock that this came out when it did.
Yeah, 100%. But it is interesting that you mentioned the lights and how they kind of resemble, or they're kind of leaning towards the CyberCab look. And it's true. It kind of makes me curious as to if that is the case, if they're kind of going that way. Like I said, the front light bar kind of reminds me of the Cybertruck light bar a little bit. And then, like you were saying, the CyberCab. So they just redid the Model 3 and they didn't go with this light bar look. I'm kind of curious as to, I'm sure this was all, none of this stuff is like planned 6 months ago, right? I mean, It's all stuff that they've been planning for probably years. And so I just wonder why the Model 3 didn't get that treatment. If indeed they were going for a certain look across their whole lineup of vehicles, and maybe they're not, but.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is like a turning point for them or if they're wanting to like differentiate, because like granted their Model Y is more, like I said, I was going to say it's more like the economy version, but really that's not true. That's like the Model 3. So I don't know. I would assume maybe it's maybe like a turning point where they're going to try to go more towards, that flat look. Even the Cybervan, whatever you want to call it, has a front full light bar too. So yeah, maybe.
Well, that thing is just trippy all on its own. So Mark is in chat and he says it would look better if they omitted the center part of the light bar. That's kind of where I was at, Mark. When I first seen the new Model Y and I seen the light bar look, I wasn't a fan of it. I'm gonna be honest with you, it kind of has grown on me. I think now that I just kind of see more of the images, like this image here, it's grown on me a little bit more. But I do agree that front part of the light bar is just, I don't know if it's just the fact that it's breaking up the paint. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you could always black it out, get a black coat of paint, and then put really dark film over the.
Well, I've seen even on Cybertrucks. I think actually OG Cyber Brian. I believe his light bar is tinted. He's put a dark tint on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's taken it off recently, but I know months ago he had a dark tint on it. So, and I thought about doing the same to my light bar on the Cybertruck, but then I decided to not do it. But yeah, it's something to kind of get adjusted to. But I'm not opposed to it. I think it looks it's growing on me. I will say
I love it. I don't hate it.
It's that's kind of where I'm at. But overall, I think they've done some really cool things with it. They've added some things. They've increased the range, it seems like. There was one thing that they were talking about, active hood. So right here it says active hood. Mm-hmm. Another safety upgrade on the new Model Y will likely be active hood, designed to offer improved pedestrian safety at speeds of 19 to 32 miles per hour. If a vehicle collides with a pedestrian, which we don't want that happening, the rear part of the hood may automatically raise by approximately 3.1 inches. The likelihood of pedestrian injuries would reduce as a result of the increased space between the hood and the components under it.
What?
Wait. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. So what it seems like is if there's an accident with a pedestrian, the rear of the hood up here will kind of raise up. To help with the impact, I'm assuming. So,
I assume it still opens up like a normal frunk would, but that's interesting.
Yeah, there's some type of safety mechanics.
I'm gonna need Jeremy Judkins to come out and take one for the team. We need to see what this actually does.
Have him have somebody drive the
20 miles an hour to make it super safe and just
the new Model Y run it. Just drive right into him. That'd be
bare feet.
That'd be pretty funny. I wouldn't be surprised. He'd probably do it. That's the new Model Y. They're talking about possibly a March April release. So that'd be interesting. I mean, the Model Y sells like crazy. So I could only imagine that this one, being it's a refresh. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are waiting right now that probably we're thinking about getting a Model Y. They're probably going to just wait until this comes out and then place their orders. And I agree. I think that either A, they're going to increase the price slightly for this version, to try to sell the old inventory, or maybe slash some prices on the old inventory. So anybody that's in the Model Y market, I would say wait and see.
Or they could do like what we've started to see with the Cybertrucks, is like they're just incentivizing it more. I mean, like toss in like life or the free, you know, 2 years of full self, or not full self driving, but, or it could be full self driving or supercharging or whatever. Yeah,
they're doing the full self driving for lifetime ownership of the Cybertruck. Mm-hmm. That's one perk they're doing. Sawyer tweeted out, when was this? Was it today?
It was
earlier today, that they're also, for inventory non-Foundation Series Cybertrucks, they're offering a $1,600 discount, mm-hmm. which is encouraging. Demo vehicles are also getting another, or up to $2,600 off. And then you can also use your referral codes. So mm-hmm. if you know somebody that has a Tesla, like myself, you could use my referral code or anybody else's and get an additional $1,000. So, you know, there's some discounts right now, and there's mm-hmm. this is probably, I would say, the time to buy a Cybertruck if you have been on the fence or you've been waiting. Obviously, if you want to continue to wait, I'm sure just, you know, prices will come down over time, and obviously the Cybertruck's going to be better and better as time passes. But if you're itching to order one, I mean, right now I think it's a really good time given all of the incentives that they're offering to people right now. So
yeah, especially when new, with, you know, less than 2,000 miles, like, and now's the best time of any. Like, I think that's kind of what they mentioned, that these are demo drivers that have 1,600 miles on them. So yeah, they're still lightly very used.
Yeah, it's interesting because mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people out there that are waiting. I think you've talked about it, and I know Will has talked about it, that, you know, to see what the used market's going to look like mm-hmm. at some point this year. But I mean, if you drive a lot and you're going to put a lot of miles into it and you don't mind going to a supercharger, I think right now with that free supercharging for the lifetime ownership of the Cybertruck, that is like,
that's huge.
Super, super tempting, you know, because there's people that spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on, you know, what you would consider gas or electricity. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think I'm guessing on the numbers because I don't know exactly what, but yeah, I know even the trip that we took with the Rivian, we still use supercharging. Still was like at least $200 to $300 for the trip, for, you know, not halfway cross country, but maybe a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
not cheap.
I mean, for me, like, I did my road trip over the holiday break, and I mean, I made 4 charging stops each way, so 8 in total. And I didn't do full 100 or 0 to 100 charges for each stop, but I did at least one on each way, and then, you know, charged up. And so I haven't really looked at what that cost would have been, but because I have. Free supercharging right now, mm-hmm. but I mean, it would have cost a pretty penny to do that drive. So definitely grateful that I have the you know, full self-driving. Jay's in chat. Hey Jay, he says he's sorry he's late. No worries, Jay.
I was worried
about
you.
No need to apologize, Jay. It's fine. It's all good. So yeah, right now there's some incentives for anybody that's on the fence for a Cybertruck. You know, go ahead and at least take a look and see what your options are, because there's some incentives. So
if anything, this is great news for me getting back into one. Because if someone buys, you know, 2024 quote unquote new for what, 75, 76,
yeah,
they're gonna turn around late this year, resell it, and possibly could get back into it with a year of miles for, you know, 60s, high 50s.
Let me ask you this before we move on, because I don't think I've asked. What would be that price? What would be something, if you saw used, you're just scrolling somewhere, you know, your phone right now is listening to you, so it's searching, actively mm-hmm. searching right now for a used Cybertruck to throw it right at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would that price have to be, if you don't mind me asking?
$1 below 60, so $59.99.
And you would jump all over it.
Oh, 100%. Like I would eat the difference between what we owe on the Rivian to then get back into the Cybertruck. That would 100% happen.
Wow.
Because I mean, in the end, if you think about it, the loan would be cheaper no matter what. Mm-hmm. Even though having to pay some out of pocket, you could get a little to zero down and still save on a monthly. So yeah, but I honestly think, you know, that 50 to 60 range is like, it's a perfect price for what you're getting out of this thing. Even if it had, you know, 40,000 miles on it, I still think it's a good buy.
No,
because I mean, that they're solid. Like we've said it multiple times on the podcast of how shocked I was by the dual motor versus the tri-motor capabilities. Mm-hmm. And the dual motor can do, you know, so many things that you wouldn't even think of. And it's more than capable. So I think even used, it's going to be a great buy. I think that's honestly been my only gripe. Honestly, it's been the price. Like, I don't want to spend 100K for that, but
yeah,
you know, 50, 60 all day.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's what was the intrigue by the masses, right? Initially, mm-hmm. was they were touting that they were going to have a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 right. Tesla truck, and it was going to have all these capabilities, 500 miles of range, and I think even 14,000-pound towing capacity, and all these great things. And they delivered on what I would consider, and I think you would consider, a fantastic truck and a fantastic vehicle. Mm-hmm. But when you pull some of those things back and then you increase the price, that did it for a lot of people. And yeah, no, 100%. I mean, spending $100,000, $120,000 on the truck is a lot of money. And it was, not what we were all expecting.
Because even if you take away the $20,000 uptick, you're looking at 80 grand for this truck. You're also looking at the same price point you could get into an F-250 that has way better towing capability.
Yeah.
If that's what you're looking for, but or even you could spend 80 grand on like a year or two used Raptor that has great off-road capability, even probably with some awesome aftermarket shocks and stuff like that. So that's where I'm like, that even at the 80 price point, it still is a hard sell with just what it has out of the box. Now, I mean, I'm not even counting FSD if that's really what you want. Maybe that can weigh in as well, but.
Yeah, no, 100%. And my 1 year anniversary with the Cybertruck is actually next week. And so I'm going to be probably filming this weekend my 1 year review. And that should be coming out either next week or the week after. And so I'll get in really detail of what I love and quite frankly, what I hate about the Cybertruck. And I, you know, a lot of the people that watch the podcast probably already know what I hate and what I love. But one thing I will say is, yeah, you can get an F-250 for that same price point. I mean, I had a one ton Ram prior to getting the Cybertruck, and the capabilities are a lot more. It's not even close. But if you value ride quality, you know, the Cybertruck, I mean, it's night and day.
Ease of driving. Like, That was a huge thing that my wife never liked driving her F-150.
Yeah.
It feels like a boat. You always have to, you know, give yourself extra room on all the turns. Getting in and out of a parking lot is always a tricky thing.
But wait, hold on, Chase. Hold on. We got Amir holding, trying to get into the podcast. So we have a guest for everybody. Let's get Amir in here. Hey, Amir. How's it going? Man.
Hello.
Welcome.
How you guys doing?
I like the cap.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're in theme. So for everybody that's watching right now, and for anybody that watches this once I upload it, Amir is a friend of mine. He's been part of the Cyber Odyssey community and Cybertruck community for quite some time now. You own a Cybertruck currently. And why don't you give us a little bit of background on what you do professionally, and then that way we can kind of have a whole conversation, discussion of what you do and how you can kind of help educate the not only the Cybertruck community, but all EV owners and people alike.
Yeah, for sure. So Yeah, my name is Amir. I went to school for mechanical engineering. I went to Cal State Fullerton, and I worked in aerospace for a while. I've always been into cars, and between my wife and I, in the past, I want to say 16, 17 years, we have had almost 20 different cars, and everything from Porsches to Audis to BMWs to Mini Coopers, Fords, Golf GTIs, multiple of them. Just love cars, and the latest one is the Cybertruck. Picked it up February of last year, coming up to 1 year
One
anniversary
year,
now.
nice. Speaking of,
26,000 miles on it.
wow,
So
awesome.
yeah, love the truck. It's awesome. And I've been driving EVs since 2016, and first Tesla was in 2020. And I've been driving Teslas since then, three different Model 3s and Cybertruck. I've been involved in the industry since 2022, and worked for one of the OEMs, one of the largest OEMs, for charging stations. And they supplied chargers to different network operators, such as Electrify America, EVgo, and a few different ones. This company never sold, they make ACs and DCs. They never sold to consumers directly. It was either to network providers or over the fence for fleet, Amazon, UPS, FedEx, all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So you are the perfect guy to talk to. So what, let me kind of give everybody some background. So what we have is Brian OG Cyber was on the podcast, what was it, like a month ago, Chase, roughly. And we were talking about incident that he had with his rear motor inverter going out, and he was sharing his experience. Well, he also organizes what they call the Cyber Odysseys, and we have one coming up in February. So that's something that I'm going to be talking about in the next, you know, for the next couple of weeks, just kind of putting that out there for anybody that wants to join. We're going to be going out to Glamis in the mid, I believe, mid February. And one of the talking points and something that Brian wanted to kind of share with everybody was there was a lack of superchargers readily available or close by to Glamis. And so there are some other charging stations that around that are closer. But he was suggesting that everybody has CCS adapters so that way they can go to those chargers and charge up. Now, Amir had an experience where he purchased a CCS adapter, correct?
Correct.
And you want to kind of give us some information on what, you know, you received and what your opinions are on said adapter.
Yeah, so I ordered this one. It took almost a month to get. This is what we got for our Model 3. So you notice the difference, obviously longer neck. And right here for the NACS side, on the CCS side, almost identical, but very different. The big issue here, we can start from this one. The big issue is how the J1772 or the AC pins have been put in here and generated in here. For DC, when you go to a DC charger, you only need your positive, negative down here. These shouldn't be populated. When you have your charger, let's say your Electrify America charger, from wherever company, it could be BTC Power, it could be ABB, it could be Signet, whomever. Any of the DCs, when these are populated up here, they are live. And that's very dangerous. That is very, very dangerous. You notice up here, this doesn't have it. These guys have it. So, first thing. Second, when you look at the next slide, what we call the finger. This is metal, and it is something that the user can touch. Now, arcing happens quite often. Arcing is when you push the button on the CCS. That button is actually emergency shutoff of the charger. That's where if you have experienced your Model 3, Model S, Model X, Model Y using this adapter, on the screen it says, do not use the button. Go shut it off from the charger. then take the take the cable off the car, and then take it off the adapter.
Interesting.
So the S1, S3/S3, depending, that's the emergency shutoff button. Sometimes, and that's connected directly to the latch that holds onto this right here. Now, some of the cable manufacturers recently started using stainless steel latches instead of aluminum. These cables get dropped quite often, sometimes directly on their face. They're heavy. For the most part, they're liquid cooled. So there is liquid running through the cable while you're charging to cool off the copper. And these are heavy, heavy cables. When they get dropped, if the latch breaks, the charger is essentially out of commission. They have to replace the latch or the cable altogether. The new cables that use stainless steel latches, they can bend. So that still works. So if you're a user, you're at 2% charge, you just go to the charging station, it is working, you do whatever you can to plug that CCS cable into your car. Whether or not it's a Tesla, whether or not you're using an adapter. Getting that thing off, because the S1, S3 switch is connected to that latch, there are times that you push it, the latch doesn't disconnect, and you're thinking, oh, maybe I just force it because I forced it in. One, you can damage your inlet on your car. Two, you might not shut off the power. Now you're removing a live cable running 500 amps, 1,000 volts, 300 plus kilowatt, that arcs. And that's how you see, once in a while, car fires, right? EV fires. Happened to a couple of Rivians. It happened before, right? Now, when you have this adapter, if you remove it and the S1, S3 hasn't done its job and the cable's still live, look at these, metal, and I can touch it with my finger. They can turn a human being to powder.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You look at the Tesla one, there's a piece of plastic here. So now, these guys also not UL certified. Technically, none of the adapters are UL certified. Not even the adapters that go from CCS to NACS or NACS to CCS. The ones that Ford drivers have it, the one that Rivian drivers have, none of them are UL certified. It's UL2252. It will be finalized probably by end of February, beginning of March. Then you will see the market being flooded with adapters that are actually UL certified. So they pass the safety checks.
That's very, very good information because I didn't know any of that. So my background is I've never charged with a CCS charger. I don't have any adapters. So all of this is great information because like what I was explaining with the Cyber Odyssey, I was in the market to purchase an adapter for charging purposes, obviously. Mm-hmm. So then would you recommend for people to wait on purchasing an adapter, wait for these certifications to come through, for these adapters to get certified prior to purchasing anything?
100%. 100%. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or it's an official adapter that is being released from either Tesla or another car OEM. Like okay. I said, none of the adapters that are in the market are UL2252 certified. However, Ford drivers, Rivian drivers that receive their NACS to CCS adapters, they got a notification saying this is an approved adapter. It's fine. You can use it. Sorry, my phone is gone. You can use it and it's safe.
Okay. Okay.
But if you use any other adapter that hasn't passed the UL cert, you're putting yourself in danger and you're putting your property, your car in danger. It could be as simple as burning off your or damaging your BMS, your battery management system, mm-hmm. or the whole battery pack, and it will not be covered by the warranty.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to deal with that. Now, an interesting or I guess somewhat concerning thing is the fact that, let me see if I can find it. Tesla right now, they don't have any CCS adapters for the Cybertruck. Everything right. is for the S and X or the 3 and Y. The one that you had that you said you've been using on your Model 3, right?
Correct. That's the one.
That's a Tesla.
Correct.
Okay. So that's a Tesla one. So in the meantime, I mean, what do we do? Do we just avoid going to CCS? let's use me for an example. What would your advice be? Just if, when I go to Cyber Odyssey, just take the extra trip and go to the supercharger, and just avoid the whole CCS fiasco in general.
So that's the best bet, right?
Okay.
That's the safest bet to, again, protect yourself and your truck.
Okay.
If you're using one of these adapters, like I said, even that Tesla one, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen on the forums that people use, it's called EVject, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? That's the extra adapter that makes this a little bit longer. Therefore, it passes the fender flare of a Cybertruck. Yep. Again, right there. So kind of a hack. Again, that thing is also not really designed to do what we are asking it to do. Yeah. But I've seen people say, well, it works. Everything works with the right attitude. But, you know.
I guess if you're driving off and it is connected in the like their ideal situation, you're not even near the cable. So if anything would arc, maybe yeah. less risk.
But then yeah, it works.
Correct. So maybe that again, I wouldn't recommend it. I'm yeah. probably not going to use it, but it is good in case of emergency. There are places, if you look up, you can just go on Google Map and look up, you know, EV chargers, or go on PlugShare and you can filter out, you know, all the other ACs and DCs. Just have CCS, let's say again, EVgo and Electrify America and Tesla. There are places that Tesla doesn't have superchargers, but there are more than a few CCS chargers. So it is good to have it as an extreme emergency.
Yeah.
But if you have yeah. the option, do not use an adapter.
Well, the other thing too is that, I mean, even if you're going for like, okay, your situation going out to Glamis, correct, right?
Yeah.
The closest town is, it's got a few charge point and then one, I think it's mainly just the charge point, but they're all J1772 and they're anywhere from 20 to 7 kilowatts per hour. So you're really not getting that much speed. So it's also slower speeds for the higher risk.
Yeah. yeah. And I think at that point, I'd rather just drive the distance and go get to the nearest supercharger at that point.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So to clarify, J1772 is fine.
Okay.
Okay.
It's just CCS is the issue.
Correct. So
okay.
J1772 or AC chargers are level 2 chargers, right? Mm-hmm. Those are technically not the chargers. Those are power delivery systems. The mm-hmm. charger is built in your car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the charger built in the car manages the current, manages the voltage that's coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's much safer to use essentially any J1772. Okay. To your point, it does take a while. J1772s, if you're lucky, you can find maybe 48 amp level 2 chargers. Some are 80 amps, depending on where you go. So this is BTC Power's website. The charger on the left, they're dual port. You can find them on pedestal. You can find them on wall mounts. These are usually at the hotels, some shopping centers,
mm-hmm.
and Teslas are all 48 amp chargers. And at max, you're looking at give or take about 40 miles an hour.
Hmm. Right. Which is I guess that makes sense. But so full disclosure, I've got a Rivian R1S now, and then I've actually got the adapter from A to Z for NACS to what essentially is the J1772 because it uses the full thing. But I'm assuming now it doesn't use that full. It probably uses the CCS in that case. Like,
you shouldn't need, for R1S, you shouldn't need an adapter unless you're going next. Are you trying to go next to J1772?
Yes. Yeah. Because I have the first gen. So I know their second gen, all that is going in ACS now. So yeah, for the first gen. And then I have another, basically a CCS adapter for my home level 2 charger. Or sorry, an adapter just to go to the top portion. Sorry, I don't know a whole lot of this stuff. No, the top circle one. Yeah. You know what I mean? So not the bottom two, the top one. Yes, that one.
Because your Rivian has a J1772. So yes. Background with Chase had a Cybertruck. So because he had a Cybertruck, he has NACS Tesla charger in his garage. And so he's using an adapter with that NACS to a J1772 to charge at home.
Still get 9 kilowatts, perfectly fine.
True.
Yeah, for overnight charging. So let's get into, let's you know what, that actually prompted some good questions. Amir, why don't you educate us and kind of give us some of the, I guess, specifications as to a J1772, what is that exactly? What's the difference between that, a CCS, NACS, you know, there's all this, right? There's all these different, adapters and connections and just kind of maybe educate us a little bit more on that.
Yeah, sure. And all that you mentioned is just North America. You go to Europe, that's a whole different deal. You go to Asia, that's a whole different deal. Mm-hmm. But on the North American side, so you have level one chargers. Level one is 120 volt, super slow. You're looking about, 5 miles an hour charging at home. Any outlet on the wall that can charge your car, right? Mm-hmm. Level two, or AC charging, is they go anywhere from about 16 amps to 48 amps to 80 amps. You see a lot of those in homes. You see a lot of them in shopping center. You go to Disneyland, all those charge point chargers that they have, those are all level two chargers. And like I said, for the most part, they're 40 to 48 amps, about 9 kilowatt to 11.5. And they're great for overnight charging. They're great if you're staying at a hotel. You plug in your car downstairs. By the time you come over, you come back to your car, it's done. And then you get to DC. It's not level three. I've seen a lot of people refer to it level three. There's no level three. It goes from level one, level two, and then DC. Now, on the DC side, that's where you get faster chargers. DC, like I was showing here, this right here is J1772. Mm-hmm. So smaller cable, lighter cable. Some of the chargers have a 25-foot cable, right? On the DC side, you don't need any of this to be populated. That's where we use CCS, or combo charging standard, right? It's a combo because you have your J1772 and these two larger DC pins. But again, this is not being used. It's just this guy right here. And these chargers can be on a slower side, about 350 amps. You're looking at non-liquid cooled cables. Those are usually thicker and very heavy cables. So for public, if the network operator wants to do less expensive chargers, depending on the location, they do non-liquid cooled 200 amp chargers. Still a heck of a lot faster than a C charger, but it's not necessarily as fast as, let's say, when you go to an EA station. Now, what faster chargers do, they use liquid cooled cables. They're still CCS. These are 500 plus amps, 500 to 600 amps, 1,000 volts, 360 kilowatt, 400 kilowatt, even faster. And if you look at the cross section of the cable, you will see that there is liquid. Essentially, the copper in the cable is submerged in liquid. And then there are two return tubes that go back into the charger, and they go to a cooling unit that has a pump, that has a radiator, and a bunch of, you know, plumbing, and the liquid goes in there, cools off, goes back into the cable. By cooling down the cable, you can have smaller cross-section cables, so it's lighter. Again, for, you know, my mom drives a Tesla, she drives EVs, it's easier for her to use a liquid cool cable than a non-liquid cool. And these are the fastest chargers that are at the moment available to the public. Next level would be MCS, which is Mega Charging Standard. Those are 1,000, 1,500 amps. Again, super fast ones that we have right now are 500 amps. Now you're against 1,500 amps to 3,000 amps. Those are used for trucks. So if you look at Daimler trucks, they use MCS. There are a couple of companies that make the MCS cables, such as REMA, Hubersooner, and Amphenol. Now, back to public usage. In November of 2022, Tesla announced that the name was available. They just took it. They're releasing their standard to other OEMs. Let's call it NACS. The NACS is essentially what Tesla uses. If you compare it to the CCS, it is smaller. The cables are lighter. So if you've ever been to a Tesla supercharger, you can pick up a finger, pick up the cable with two fingers. And everybody kind of laughed them off. It did make a lot of network operators a little bit nervous, but they didn't take it seriously until a few months later that Ford joined that adventure. And Ford said, okay, we are going to adopt NACS. Our cars and trucks are going to have NACS as of next year, and they'll be able to use Tesla Supercharger. Then GM joined, then, you know, VW, then pretty much everybody.
Rivian,
There's like one or
everybody's getting
two.
involved.
Everybody got involved. So Koreans, Kia, Hyundai, based on what I've seen, actually, they are the first ones, first cars I've seen that have native NACS inlets in their cars.
And
So they're a
which
little bit ahead
vehicles?
of Kia and Hyundai.
Okay. Because everybody else is using the adapters right now.
Correct.
Okay.
So their 2025 models, they have native NACS. They don't need adapters anymore.
That makes a lot more
Interesting.
sense why Ford was trying to offload this year's version of the Lightning. Makes way more sense. Yeah. I mean, I'm slightly worried because I have a, you know, first gen Rivian, but I don't think they're trying to offload them because they're not NACS, but still, it's
No.
interesting.
No.
I never knew why. I was like at first I saw the discounts coming in. I'm like, is Ford just pulling out of the EV truck series? What's going on here? But that would make more sense. They're just trying to offload the ones they're not going to support anymore.
So what makes so number one, I want to get something corrected because you're the professional here, so I'm going to rely on you. I call it NACS, but you keep calling it NACS. So is it NACS? That's the proper way to present it?
It's a cool
You
word.
do, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So when we are in meetings, when we are talking, we don't say
Yeah.
NACS,
Nobody
next.
says
It's just,
NACS.
yeah.
Only us dummies over here call it
No. Because people are going to think you say next
NACS.
with an
That's
A,
how
next.
it is.
Yeah.
There's no wrong answer. It's
Yeah.
just that's how we say it, next.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to be cool, so I'm gonna start saying
It's
NACS.
the future. Now, but people will forget about, you know, CCS and J1 117. So it's fine.
So can you
There's that
dive
too.
into what makes NACS? See, I'm using it.
You got it.
What makes it, why is it becoming the standard? What makes it, is it just simply because of the supercharger network? Or is there an advantage to that connection?
So yes, and yes. To the first point, yes, there are thousands of superchargers out there, right? Although there are a lot of EVs now, besides Tesla, over 55% of the EVs driving on the roads right now are Teslas.
Wow.
So it makes sense that network operators would want to have would want to be able to support those cars. Not everybody is going to go on Tesla's website and, you know, buy let's say $200 adapter. They don't, most people don't even know that this exists. Most people don't know, or wouldn't know how to use it, because maybe Tesla is their first EV and they're used to the simplicity of just pulling into a supercharger, plug it in, and it works, right? Mm-hmm. With other network operators, you'll have to have your credit card, you have to have maybe an app. It gets a little bit more complex. I've been using it because I've been familiar with it, because my previous cars were in Teslas, right? So I've been using CCS for years. And having this adapter is a good idea if you buy it directly from Tesla, because now you have all the chargers in the world available to you instead of just the Tesla superchargers, right? The advantage, so that's one advantage. Now all these manufacturers, other OEMs, have access to the Tesla supercharger. The other advantage is the cables are lighter and easier to use. The inlets are smaller. Obviously, all the companies that made inlets, you're looking at TE, you're looking at Phoenix Contact, you're looking at Amphenol. All these make the inlets for the cars. They had to redesign their inlets. They had to figure it out, see how deep the change goes, the revision goes.
Sure.
It was very complex. 2023 was really hard on the OEMs that made EV chargers, because now with all these manufacturers, with car OEMs jumping on the bandwagon and saying, we are going to use NACS, they're like, okay, what should we do? Should we still buy chargers from these manufacturers that have CCS on them? And at the time, nobody had an answer for it. So essentially, they stopped taking deliveries of the chargers mid-2023. And it took a few months for the cable manufacturers, again, like Amphenol, Hubersooner, Rima, to figure out how to design an AX cable. It took a while for the manufacturers like BTC Power and ABB and Signet to figure out, if we get the cables, do we just plug it in? Can we just retrofit it? Can we go in the field and replace some of the cables and existing chargers? There were a lot of questions that nobody had answers for. So it took almost a year for cable manufacturers to be able to design cables that will work with DCFCs or DC fast chargers, right? Mm. Advantage-wise, that's really about it. There are some disadvantages when it comes to, let's say, NACS connectors and NACS cables. Their life cycle is usually much shorter. So let's say on a DCFC, you're looking at the CCS needs to have about 10 to 15,000 life cycle warranty. It should be able to support. Life cycle is when the cable is live, plug it in, let it charge, unplug. That's one cycle.
Okay.
Most network operators are requiring 10 to 15,000 cycles. I know that Tesla has their service techs on schedule going around replacing cables of the superchargers because their life is about 1,500, maybe 2,000.
Wow. 10%. Big. Wow.
So they are not as robust as the other cables. And these are non-liquid cooled cables. If you look at all the way to V3 Tesla cables, they're still pure copper, non-liquid cooled. Now they're much shorter. So when you look at, let's say, the cables that are on DCFCs, they're 5 meters, 6 meter cables. They're super long. Tesla is what, about maybe 2 meters. Yeah. So for the most part, if you let the cable go, it might not even hit the ground.
Yeah.
They have that advantage. But if they hit something, the cable's toast. If you look at, I don't have an example of it here, but if you look at some of the new cables, again, made by Amphenol and Hoover and Rima and a few other cable manufacturers, when it comes to liquid cooled, you see how this is flat? The liquid cool cables are going to have raised edges. They're a little bit thicker contactors. So they're going to be also robust. So I'm looking forward to seeing DCFCs that are not Tesla superchargers that have native NACS cables. Now, you were on the BTC's website, some of their chargers, they're dual port chargers. So on those chargers, you can have one CCS and one NACS. So no matter what car you pull in front of, you can plug it in.
Interesting.
So EVgo was really good about that.
So if it kind of seems like the industry is going down the road of NACS, right? If that is going to be the connection, that's going to be, so what's going to happen with all of these chargers that are out there, Electrify America and whatnot? I mean, is there going to be a retrofit? They're going to have to, right? They're going to have to go in and replace all of these cables and connections, or what's what's that process look like?
So the good news is, yes, they can retrofit it. That's why it took, you know, such a long time to see NACS connectors on the chargers, almost a year and a half. Now you're seeing that chargers are being deployed with actual NACS cables. CCS is not going to go away for a long time. There are a lot of cars out there. There are millions of EVs out there in North America that use CCS. That's not going to go away. But you will see more NACS chargers.
Okay.
So that's the good news part of it.
So is there a plan to for new chargers to have both NACS and CCS, or is it just going to rely on adapters?
No, so that's the plan. The chargers that have two ports, for the most part, they're going to have NACS and CCS.
Okay.
Nice. And now, if you look at, if you ever drive to the EV site, EA site, they usually have like 4 or 6 or 8 chargers, and they're all single ports. Those cases, they will have to replace maybe 2, 3, 4 of them with NACS, and then leave 2, 3, 4 of them at CCS. Again, you'll see CCS for a long time. It's going to be a minute until everything is NACS.
Yeah.
Kind of like CHAdeMO. If you look at CHAdeMO,
yeah,
right? Nissan Leaf. That was,
yeah.
And there was one Kia Soul at some point that used CHAdeMO.
Yeah.
If you pull into any of the DCFC sites, there's still one or two chargers. At least one charger still has one CHAdeMO cable on it. Right,
the one Leaf guy that shows up,
but that one Leaf guy going in 50 kilowatt,
yeah,
360 kilowatt charger.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of curious. So I got a question. So I had actually, when we got our Cybertruck, we instantly put, actually, I got it back in February at the same time you did. We put it up on Turo, just kind of make a business out of it right away. And one interesting renter we got was from another charging company that they're building the chargers and selling them, but he really just wanted to rent it so they could then test it, because they couldn't get a hold of Cybertrucks at the time unless they would rent them. But they had talked about the off handoff that the Cybertruck had that all these other Teslas didn't have. And I'm curious, are you expecting the charging speeds for the Cybertruck to get even faster? Because that's kind of what he was alluding to, and kind of preluded the, you know, 350 volt up to the, or 300 kilowatt up to the 500 kilowatt possible that we're seeing now. I'm curious if you think it could go further.
Oh, yeah. So with Cybertruck, still a little bit harder to test. Obviously, Tesla doesn't necessarily release all the specs of anything. It's just, you know, it's up to us and all these OEMs.
No, there's no way, Amir. The Tesla doesn't release any information. What are you talking about?
That's the whole point.
They are the best at communicating.
Right? Yeah. They don't have a communication department, right? Anyway.
We're their communication department, and they don't pay us.
Yeah. No, we actually, at the company I worked at, we encountered that issue. First of all, we couldn't test any of the DCFCs with the Cybertruck, because the Tesla adapter wouldn't even work with it. And we didn't have liquid cooled NACS cables to test it with a Cybertruck. So that was a big issue. It took a while until companies started receiving prototypes or Rev A or Rev B of actual NACS cables, native NACS cables. And kind of like you, my Cybertruck was, you know, guinea pig for one of these companies, actually a couple of these companies. And after getting the cable, there was no handshake. Cybertruck software wouldn't recognize CCS. And I believe that was disabled on purpose by Tesla, and the fender flares are designed in a way to prevent people from, you know, using this, because this is max 400 volt.
Right.
And now DCFC is 1,000 volt. Right. So they weren't sure, just like a lot of other aspects of the Cybertruck, they weren't sure what would happen if people started using these adapters. This is a Tesla one. There had to be some updates, hardware and software, done to these DC fast chargers to make them actually work with the Cybertruck. And now they do. What is the maximum of Cybertruck? What I've seen online is a little bit over 400 kilowatt. But that was the max that the company that made that charger could offer. Is it possible that it can go higher? Maybe. Based on what I've seen on the battery and the BMS, it is possible that it can be over 400. We just don't know, because we don't have chargers that can do 400. Yeah. There are a couple of OEMs that will be releasing 480 kilowatt and higher chargers sometime in 2025. I want to say probably towards end of 2025. And they will have native liquid-cooled NACS cables. That's when we will find out exactly what Cybertruck can do.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's kind of what he alluded to as well. It was like, well, it could theoretically go even higher, you know, 800,000, who knows? But he wasn't sure of, like, what's the limit on what's available.
Yeah.
I just did a quick Google search just to see. But yeah, there's apparently someone who was able to get up to 405 kilowatts charging speed at a supercharger, it looks like. So
14 volts? Yeah.
So right here. So yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? With the battery being so large on the Cybertruck, and there's greater capability for it to charge faster. That's going to help with, you know, like I was, you know, I mentioned on the podcast last week, and we were talking about it before you came on, Amir, is that how I went on a road trip over the holiday break, and, you know, I had to stop four times each way. So eight times total to charge. And so if the speeds were much higher, then obviously you're cutting that time to a fraction, and that helps. So somebody, Mark in our chat, mentions that the NACS is more user-friendly, especially for someone with an injury or disability or poor arm strength. And I think that's what Amir was alluding to.
100%.
Or one of the advantages of NACS over the CCS adapters and cables. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know your time is valuable, so I don't want to keep you much longer, but I appreciate you coming on, educating us, teaching me not to say NACS anymore. I will never use that again. And you know what, Chase? Because Will's not here, one of our other co-hosts, what we're going to do,
we'll just start using NACS and not even,
we're just going to use NACS and wait until he says, what the hell are you guys talking about? Okay. And then we're just going to keep going. We're not going to answer him. So that's what we'll do.
I appreciate it. Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It was great talking to you guys and meeting you, Chase. And please let me know if you have any questions. You know, I'll be if I can, I'll be happy to jump in.
Wait, one more thing. Have you wrapped your Cybertruck yet?
Oh yeah, he did.
He did
wrap it.
Yeah, he wrapped it.
Oh yeah, I.
What'd you wrap it?
Fridge for 3 weeks, okay. And it was, you know, it was at the beginning of the whole cyber threat thing. People would come in, say, well, what is this? And everybody wanted to touch it.
Oh yeah.
I went through liters of Windex keeping that thing clean and shiny. I'm like,
I was at Costco.
We'll make sure you're the wrap of the week and we'll put it up right here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I got I don't want to be that guy, but I got you beat, Amir. I had mine for less than 23 hours or 24 hours. Wow. And I went and got it wrapped. I was like, no, there's no way. Because it's the same thing. I bought it. I took it, showed everybody, right?
Sure.
And everybody's touching it, doing all that. And I'm looking at it as people are touching it. I'm going, yeah, there's no way I could do this. I can't. Yeah. And I don't have that OCD type of personality or anything, but I was just like, no, there's no way.
No.
So I took it the next day and I went from shop to shop to shop just talking to people. Because some people didn't even want to wrap it because they didn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
The shop I found a really good company local there in Ontario. Did a great job. This was actually their first Cybertruck. Nice. And since I've seen them doing a lot of them, we both learned some stuff. They had to redo a couple of the panels. Again, it was brand new. But I kind of miss the original look.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've thought of it. I know at some point, because I don't remember, is yours PPF or is it just vinyl?
It's vinyl.
Okay, so mine is vinyl. Yes, yours is vinyl, because I think we were bonding. We were talking about how when we went to the Odyssey, our wraps got like destroyed, right?
Well, completely.
Yeah, my wrap still. I still haven't done anything with it. But I keep telling myself at some point, I'm going to have to rip it all off. And I think what I'm going to end up doing is getting a PPF, and I'm going to copy Chase's Cybertruck. He put a really nice – it was clear. It was a clear PPF, but it had a smoke – yeah, it was a tinted PPF.
Oh,
it,
nice.
So you could still see where it says Foundation Series. Mm-hmm. You could still kind of see that stainless steel, but it had that little bit darker look to it. So anyways, but I told myself, when I do rip off my vinyl, I think what I'm going to do is just leave it naked, so to speak, for at least a few weeks, just to kind of, because when I see these Cybertrucks that are just stainless steel, I kind of like, man, I miss that.
Yeah. You know? A little bit.
Yeah. So
I say no, we're gonna have another one in our household probably in the next couple of weeks. I'm tired of my wife taking my Cybertruck. So
you're always mentioning that you're gonna get one for your wife.
Yeah, it's a perfect family vehicle. My wife loved driving it and hated driving my F-150. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, this thing drives easier. Honestly, it's easier to park it than a Model 3.
Okay.
Steer by wire and the rear steering. In tight parking spots and stuff. For the most part, we use it as a family car.
Yeah.
We have a big old German Shepherd. We have a 3-year-old. Perfect car for the family.
100%.
If you're right now, the bed is full. I'm going to Goodwill tomorrow. So, you know, once in a while you use it as a truck. I haven't told anything with it yet, but for the next Odyssey, we might bring a camper. Nice. So, you know, it's I think all around is a great truck car thing, and it has its own issues, but all around it's been great.
Agreed, 100%. Well, I appreciate you once again, Amir, for coming on. I hope your wife and your daughter are doing great, and we'll see you. Hopefully, we see you soon, and if not, I'll probably see you at the next Odyssey.
100%. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye.
So, yeah, I think that was fantastic information. I know there was a lot of nerdy, geeky stuff in there, but I think, I mean, I know for myself, I learned a lot. Yeah. I learned a lot from Amir. Obviously, he's very, very intelligent when it comes to all this type of stuff. And, you know, I think the most important thing is I learned next. So,
well, anytime you throw around like acronyms and things, like it's the easiest way to sound really smart. If you're like, you don't know what NXT is.
Yes.
Okay. But no, it's stuff that even I'm confused of. Like I mix up, you know, CCS versus J1 or J1772 or J1772, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's super handy, and actually probably a good kind of call to action just to be more aware of the adapters, because that was my thing, is that my brother this last week took a trip from Indiana up to Chicago with his EV Chevy EV Bolt. And he was like, man, he was just griping about how slow the charging was on some of the non-Tesla superchargers, just with, you know, in the cold weather. And he's like, I'm looking to switch over to Tesla. And then in that case, he was in Chicago. And it's like, well, if you're in Chicago for a few days, where do you even get a charger adapter? It's like, you can't just go to a store. Like, it's not like Best Buy is going to carry them on hand. So your only best bet, and I did look, is really just to go either A, directly to the manufacturer. Like, he could have gone to like a GM dealer and hoped that they have some on hand. Or B, go to Amazon and try to get something overnighted. But even then, some of the ones on Amazon, you don't know if they're drop shipped or coming from, you know, questionable sources. So
yeah,
it's really kind of rolling the dice. So I think probably the best bet to go is just to go with some of the more reputable companies that are making these adapters. You know, personally, I trust A to Z. I think they're doing their due diligence, and it's kind of worth the wait. And that's why I even told my brother, it was like, if you can wait till you get home, go order this, and it'll take, you know, quite a few weeks, but it's worth it in the end. But it's still something to be aware of. If anything, you can go straight to the manufacturer and get whatever you can from GM or Ford or Rivian. Because I even talked to the Rivian service center lately, and they're like, oh yeah, if you come by, you can actually like order one, and we'll get you one, even as a second order. Because I know they offered them up to brand new Rivian owners.
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway, right? Is that you have to be wary of the third party manufacturers that are putting out these adapters. Not saying that they're going to burn down your car or kill you, but like Amir says, you have to be concerned. And that's what started all this, is that there was a conversation that was had that he received his adapter from a third party manufacturer. When he received it, being an expert in this, he immediately went, no, I'm 100% not plugging this into my Cybertruck. And he made it a point to tell all of us other Cybertruck owners about it and to stay away. And, you know, then everybody was asking him questions. And that's when I went, I need to get him on the podcast. Yeah. Because like I said, it for some people, maybe it's not the most entertaining conversation, but if you are somebody that, you know, does long road trips and you want to have all the adapters because you want access to any, you know, charger that you come across, and especially like he said, in a pinch, you need it. You want to be safe.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to jeopardize yourself, your vehicle, your family. And so that's why I thought it was important to have him on. And, you know, he 100%. Gave us some good information. So I think what I'm going to do when it comes to the Cyber Odyssey that's coming up in February, and once again, if there's anybody out there that wants to join us at the Cyber Odyssey in Glamis, go ahead and you can check out my Instagram at butterev_, or you can go to OG_cyber_. And that's Brian. He's the guy in charge of the Cyber Odyssey. So he's always posting information. You can even DM him or myself, and we'll pass along more information on these Cyber Odysseys. But I have every intention to go to the one in February, but the supercharger is a little bit further out, so I'm just gonna have to do that drive if I need to, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, I was just looking to see if there's what's the closest one. It looks like if you're actually going away from LA towards Arizona, there's one 50 miles away, and then there's also one back along the way. It's about 40. Yeah, about 40. So that would be the way to go. So what's the town? It's El Centro, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's the one here. I'm pulling up the flyer for this.
40-ish miles away from the place you guys are going. I mean, it's probably worth just being like, all right, make sure you have, you know, 50 miles on the tank before you head back. Now, granted, I don't know how flat Glamis is, if it's up in the mountains and all.
Yeah, here it is right here. So yeah. I pulled it up. It's February 14th through the 17th. So there's camping.
Perfect.
Amir was talking about possibly bringing a camper, but there's camping. And this is very detailed, this Cyber Odyssey flyer that Brian sent out. He even gives coordinates, some of the requirements for,
You know,
you know, for the Odyssey.
Or, I mean, even it would be a bad idea if I was planning on going to just toss a gas generator in the bed and have it as a backup. So while your guys are sleeping, as long as people don't mind the extra noise of just having a generator running and charged up while you're sleeping out there. Oh, wait, he froze. Oh, no. Did I lose you? There we go.
To the supercharger. So he even gives some information on the front fairings on how to remove them. Yeah, he's Brian's on top of it. So
yeah, I was gonna say, if so the nearby CCS, I actually wouldn't be shocked if you guys wanted like take, you know, a small generator, gas generator or something along with.
Yeah, one of the guys has a big generator, and he says he's going to take that just as an emergency situation. I have a small generator. The problem with that is it's going to give me essentially the level one charging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
depending on the noise, though. Like if you're camping far enough away from it and it's not going to be an issue, then maybe that could be the way to go. But yeah, if you're going to be camping in the camper, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, it's gonna cause some noise. I'll probably take the generator just in case. I'd rather be driving and run out of juice on the side of the road and know I got a generator that I can, you know, sit in the car for, you know, an hour or two and at least get something to get me to the next charger than to not. But I'm gonna have to figure something out. But nonetheless, I think,
or the elevation is something to keep in mind, because if you guys are going up in the mountains quite a bit, you might be able to get away with less charge coming down the mountain.
Well, it's out in the desert. It's out in the desert. So yeah, flat. So it's going to be fairly flat. But the problem is I think the intent is for all of us Cybertruck owners to get out into the dunes and really just, you know, have fun with the Cybertrucks. But that, you know, it's sand.
Yeah.
And so it's going to just kill our batteries.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But the nice part is there's going to be plenty of us out there. There's always, you know, everybody's very helpful. I mean, I've been to a Cyber Odyssey where a guy needed to get towed out of there, and Brian actually towed him out. So, you know,
it's the charger.
The community is great. We're able to help each other. So
that'd be fun. Well, you guys better come up with a fun little gift or a surprise for whoever lose their fairings first and didn't remember to take them off, because that'll definitely happen to somebody.
Oh yeah. 100%. I think Brian mentions that in the flyer, that you're going to lose at least one. So you might as well just remove them.
Cause like I was thinking more about when I lost mine. I'm almost pretty sure it happened, in one of the videos that I have where I was trying to make the turn, because it was on my driver's side that I lost it, and obviously all the turns are right turns. So I got wide in the heavy dirt, and I got kicked into that dirt, and that's probably what hit it and knocked it off. So
more than likely
it'll do it, but still fun either way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for today. I mean, I had a bunch of other things, but I think we'll save it for next week as we ran over a little bit, and I didn't want to cut Amir's conversation any shorter.
That was great.
Than we needed to, because I thought it was good information. But so I appreciate everybody that joined us in chat. Thank you guys. And I hope you guys all learned something. And we'll be back next week. So thank you. There you go.